Thank you for joining the Week 8 edition of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. We are the Upper Cumberland's most listened to and complete and comprehensive coverage of high school football. 6 of 13 teams across UC Sports Nation are on bye weeks this week. One of those teams who are not, the Livingston Academy Wildcats. Let's hear what Livingston Academy head coach Bruce Lim had to say about their historic 7-0 start.
Had some teams in the past that went 6-0, and I think in the mid-20s, the team went 6-0, went undefeated, but that was the last game they had. And I think we've done it a couple more times. We went 6-0, but we lost on the seventh game. You know, it's a big accomplishment for these kids, and I'm very proud of that record.
Third down and fourth down defense came up really big for you guys Friday night against DeKalb County. You forced them to go 3-11 on third down and 0-2 on fourth down.
Yeah, our defense is, you know, people want to talk about our offense and how well this is playing, but our defense is playing as good as it ever has. It starts with those guys up front that are just controlling the line of scrimmage and making it tough for anybody to get anything going. Our defensive backfield doing a great job covering these guys, and it's just everything's working out really well right now, and Coach Hauser is calling a great game. He watches film all the time and knows what everybody's going to do ahead of time. So it's worked out really well for us.
Coach, just playing White County, who's coming off a bye week, make you a little nervous that they've had a little extra rest on your guys?
Absolutely. You know, they've had plenty of time to prepare for us, and that makes it tough. We know that they're going to be out and they're going to play their best no matter what. You know, Coach Fraser has done a great job with those guys and turning that program around and got them believing in what they can do. And, you know, it's going to be very tough. And before we have an extra week of practice, it's very scary.
Coach, White County's found themselves down in just about every single ball game this year. But something that they've done this year that they might have not done in the past, they've been able to fight and come back and win some of those games.
Well, you know, and that's one thing we've already discussed with our players all throughout this week is, you know, White County finds ways to win. And you know, a lot of times you look at them and you think, well, I mean, I don't know how good they are, but they find a way to win. And like you say, they come from behind. And they have that attitude right now. Coach Fraser brought that attitude to these guys that they're never out of the game. You know, we've got to make sure that when if we do get a chance to be up, that we need to make sure, like you say, stay on the throttle.
The records continue to fall at Livingston Academy. Senior wide receiver Wesley Smith broke the all-time receiving yardage record with 2,117 yards against Smith County a few weeks ago. With postseason out of reach, Jackson County head coach Sean Loftus said he and his team owe it to their seniors to continue to work and play hard for the rest of the year.
People have asked me in the community before the season even started, you know, what do you think about this year's team? And, you know, and I really like this year's team. You know, even back in the summer, I thought we were getting after it. I thought we were, you know, we are a much, much, much improved football team from last year. You know, I also told them I don't know how many more wins on the schedule that will include this year. Because, you know, there were several games that were 50-50 games, I thought, coming into this season, you know, and unfortunately in any of those 50-50 games, we didn't get the job done. And so, you know, that's something that we'll look at in the off season and reevaluate some things. But, you know, as far as the way that the kids have played and their efforts, I mean, it's almost like you're looking at a total different team from last year. So, you know, in that regards, I mean, I'm really, really pleased with the direction that we are going with this football program.
Last Friday night was really a defensive struggle there in Gainesboro against Cascade.
It was, and, you know, they kind of kept us off balance. They wanted to control the tempo of the ball and all that stuff. I mean, they are a grinded out trying to get, you know, basically, 10 yards in every 3 to 4 plays. And they kept our offense off the field. You know, we only had 37 offensive snaps. But it was a night of missed opportunities. We had a punt return callback for a touchdown. We didn't execute on a couple of possessions there. And so our defense and I gave our defensive kids props. I mean, I thought that they played really, really well. I thought they played well enough for us to win the ball game. You know, the offensive side, we just didn't get it done. And like I told them, I mean, I'll take full responsibility because, you know, I'm the offensive play caller, and I should have somehow, some way found a way and an opportunity to get the ball in the end zone twice. And if you only give up, I feel like, 10 points in a high school football game, you leave yourself with an opportunity at the end of the ball game, a chance of winning the game, and so that's all you can ask for from your defensive side of the ball. And I just thought that we had opportunities, we just didn't execute, and then hopefully, you know, that's something that that we can go back to work this week and strive to the next time we're in that situation, that the execution's a little bit better.
After you've been able to reflect on the game offensively, is there anything maybe you wish you would have called that could have moved the ball a little bit to get in that end zone?
Well, you know, one of our linemen was struggling a little bit, and so that, you know, of course, hindsight's 20/20. Going into the game, I really thought that we were going to be okay, and they moved one of their better guys inside. And so I guess, you know, I didn't realize how quick one of their edge rushers was compared to one of our linemen. You know, and so, you know, I wish I'd have probably gave him some help, whether it been keeping an extra back end for protection or a tight end to his side to help him out. But at that point in time, I still thought that we had some plays there. You know, maybe an underthrown ball or a ball thrown to the middle of the field, where if we'd have kept him out on the sideline on a wheel route, that we had an opportunity of scoring. And, you know, and it was like we would have a couple of positive plays, then it just seemed like that miss block or a penalty or something always kept us from extending a drive. And so, you know, of course, I mean, there's always things that when you look back as a coach, I mean, you feel like that you could have done better, I feel like. And, you know, and that was one of the things that, you know, going home, I guess, after the game, and I'm replaying it, and even on Saturday watching the film and stuff, it was something that, you know, all these different things were going through your mind and trying to figure out how I could have helped them out. And so, you know, there's, you know, like I said, I just wish I'd have gave our offensive linemen a little bit more help with controlling and containing their defensive end.
After the break, we travel with head coach Scott Hughes and the undefeated Monterey Wildcats to preview their game against Bledsoe County this week. Thank you for joining us for segment two of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Monterey head ball coach Scott Hughes said there is plenty to worry about for his 7-0 Wildcats with their first road game in over a month, especially with the added distraction of fall break.
Well, you know, our preseason schedule hopefully will carry over. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when this schedule was set and teams called us wanting to play, we anticipated a very tough schedule in that regard. And it's one of those things, you know, you just play who's on there. And it was one of those deals where, you know, the non-region part of the schedule that we've played, those teams called us. And you know, it's hard for us to find single-A schools that are not 3 hours away. And in the last couple of years, we played Huntland and Mount Pleasant. But, you know, it's a three-hour and 15-minute drive. And it's very difficult to do those things and get your kids out at 11 o'clock and do all that. And so this schedule was a little bit more travel easy and travel friendly. And so that shaped up well for us in that regard. And in years past, we had played White County and Upperman and Cookeville non-region, and those games are a whole lot easier on the travel. But, you know, it's really putting your program at a disadvantage when you're playing teams that are, you know, three times your size, you know, or even, you know, White County and Cookeville's five and six times your size. And so this schedule for us, we felt was going to be competitive, and we also felt was going to be travel friendly and on an even basis as far as playing teams the same size. And, you know, so it's one of those things that we don't have a lot of control over that. And we try to put our program in the best situations from a financial standpoint and from a competitive standpoint. You know, we're not worried about those issues. The thing that we are worried about is getting ready to play Friday night and playing a very, very complete football team.
Coach, Bledsoe County runs a little different style offense. They have a lot of pre-snap shifts and motions. How important is it for you guys to get lined up and, you know, start focusing in on your pre-snap reads and have great eye discipline this week?
Well, we talked about it all week that, you know, communication is going to be key, and being able to get our indicators early and not be late with our calls and not being late with what we do. And, they, you know, Bledsoe presents just a huge, huge challenge, like you said, with what they do pre-snap and making sure you're where you're supposed to be. And then when you equate that into being where you're supposed to be, but then the speed of the game and then the size factor and then, you know, the fact that they're really good at what they do, you know, it's just a tremendous challenge. This is a very complete football team in all three phases of the game and very impressed with what they do. And we knew when this game was set, we knew this would be a tremendous challenge, not only just because it's a school that's bigger than us, but, you know, knew the back history that this was going to be a really, really good football team, knew what they were returning and what they had, and then you factor in that, you know, probably one of the better teams they've had in their school's history and one of the better groups of athletes from some of the words down in that area of people that I know said that, you know, this is probably one of the better groups collectively of athletes that they've had in a long time. And so we're excited about that. And it makes it difficult for us, and that's what we want. We want to see that challenge. We want to go down and have to fight for four quarters, and whatever happens, happens. It'll be a great night of football for our program. And we've been talking about it, that these are the games that you want to play in as a competitor because you want to see really where you're at. And if you want to win games in November, you've got to be able to compete and win these types of games in the regular season.
Hughes pointed out Mr. Everything Colby Rogers for Bledsoe County. He said Rogers goes about 6'2", 210 pounds, and that the Wildcats must know where he is lined up at on every play. We hope you will join us for segment 3 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders to hear what DeKalb County and Upperman have going on this week. DeKalb County head coach Steve Trapp said that his team's play in 3 of their 4 losses against the AP Top 10 has disappointed him this season. His focus this week in practice is resiliency.
Really, it's just about being resilient. Last week was not the performance that we wanted, especially in the second half. But again, you know, 3 out of the 4 losses that we've had have come against top 10 ranked teams in the state in their classification. The biggest disappointment, though, is we've not competed very well at all against those types of teams. That's not what we like to see, but the other games, you know, we have performed, we have competed. So it's about bouncing back and ultimately taking care of business. We are at home. That's our rallying cry. We've done very well at home so far. And it's just back to the drawing board. You know, what's done is done. Don't get too high after a victory. Don't get too low after a loss.
I've seen both you and Smith County play this season, and you guys both on your lines have some big, pretty kids. How do you guys match up with the Owls this week?
Definitely up front. We like what we got up there. Last week, we do have some younger guys up there. They do have some size on them, and we looked like we were young in a few spots on the front last week. That's where that game ultimately was decided in my book. You know, I like what those guys have done. I would say that's the most consistent group throughout the year. I would say last week was probably their worst performance, the group, but again, it's about being resilient, coming out, doing what's expected, and ultimately the right mindset and playing the way you're expected to play.
Smith County is a very quarterback run-based read type things that he makes a lot of plays back there for them.
It's something that you have to make sure that every time the ball is snapped that he's accounted for. You know, it's like option football, so you have to be disciplined. You know, they've shown, you know, throughout the year on their games to do different things, very similar to us as far as formations and different things that they like to do, and getting different athletes to football. It comes down to understanding formations and then understanding your job as an individual on the defense and then just making sure that everything is accounted for.
Coach, I know neither one of us believe in moral victories. I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but you guys must have played a heck of a first half to hold L.A. to 10 points.
Well, I believe we did. You know, like I said, we held them inside the red zone a couple of times, missed field goal, turnover, you know, downs or whatever, you know, 10-0 at the half. And then everything was very positive at halftime, just, you know, telling our guys, hey, keep doing what you're doing, keep playing, keep grinding. Offensively, we just really did not do anything to help our defense out. The second half, field position was just terrible the entire time. You know, so Livingston kept getting the ball on their end of the field. There was a stiff wind blowing. We were punting into it, really couldn't get out of there, so they kept getting the short field. And then offense like theirs, it was just a matter of time before they started producing on those short fields. Again, I think our guys played really well defensively in the first half, but if you're not moving the ball offensively and not changing that field position with your special teams, it's kind of hard to keep that effort up when they are as talented as they are.
Coach Trapp, what did you think of Livingston Academy's defensive front Friday night?
Defensively, yeah. I mean, that helps your offense. I mean, you know, I think back at some of the really special offensive years that we've had through here throughout, and really it all started with what we were able to do on the defensive side. Take our game, for example, you know, those short fields, you know, three and outs, not getting a lot of yards, not getting first downs, all that it culminates to your offense getting extra opportunities to produce. And like I mentioned, if you give that offense extra opportunities, they're going to find a way to produce. You know, our guys battled, they played hard defensively. You know, we took away some of the things that they liked doing, but kudos to them. They found other ways. Definitely that defense, especially up front, they were bigger than I expected. They had some good guys up front. And like I said, on the line, ultimately, in my eyes, is where that game was won and lost.
Trapp said he and his staff will continue to preach mental toughness to his team week in and week out. Upperman looks to enjoy a bye week during week 8. But first, let's hear what Coach Kane had to say about their 35-0 victory over York Institute.
You know, we threw four touchdowns and right at 220 yards. And, you know, some of my sophomore receivers who had displayed a good deal of ability here and there, you know, really stepped up and made some big plays. And I think Donovan, when he was throwing the ball well, and I think he's gaining confidence in those kids. Yeah, it was a big part of our win and a big part of the way we were able to stretch that lead out and eventually get a running clock against them Friday night.
You were able to get, you know, on film that you guys have the ability to make some big plays in the passing game. So that's important for you guys moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. And that's exactly the way I put it. We get to the point where we're fairly predictable and a heck of a lot easier to defend when we're not, you know, when we don't have confidence in football. Several games this year, that's kind of been the case. We've scuffled around and you know, had a poor third down percentage in the whole deal. And a lot of that's because people just been, you know, putting a ton of guys in a box and making it hard for us to block everybody and makes it difficult on your run game. And I've been pleased with the way we run the ball this year, but this just adds a completely other dimension. You know, it was a very explosive passing game and some big chunk yardage plays. Daniel Metzger caught a hitch route and reverse field and went about 55 yards for touchdown. So anytime people see that, they at least got to respect it. And we're going to continue to rely on it and continue to try to develop, you know, be able to throw the football. Because obviously at this point in the year, you start gearing up for, a potential and a hopeful, you know, playoff run. And so now the time to really put the foot on the gas in terms of being able to throw the football.
Zach Stewart was on the receiving end of, you know, a face mask or something went on there. What did you say to Zach, maybe after the game in the locker room, after he got ejected?
I told him that, you know, that keep your head up, that he's one of my guys. And I think he got punched and then retaliated with a punch. And I think that's exactly what the ref told me. But you know, nowadays, they're not putting up with that stuff. And it's unfortunate that it got to that point because it was 35-0 in the fourth quarter, and I probably should have had him out of there. But things happen, and we're going to have to figure out a way that, because he's a two-way starter as well as our long snapper. So we're going to figure out a way to, replace him. I think he understands, he's a superb football player and a really good teammate, and I think he feels bad. And I think, moving forward, this will, you know, we'll turn this into a positive when it's all said and done. And I've got nothing but confidence in Zach.
Coach, what are you guys going to work on this week during your bye week that you need to improve on for the rest of the year?
Yeah, you know, I've been back and forth on that. You know, even as a college coach for a while, these bye weeks, you know, were very interesting. you've got all these plans to try to improve and this, that, and the other. But if you're not careful, you end up wasting a lot of time, spending a whole ton of time on the practice field. Really, what we're trying to do is get mentally, you know, energized. And I told them, you know, hopefully this is kind of the midway point for us this year. You know, last year it came at the same time, week 7, and we truly played 7 more ball games after that. I think it's a chance to maybe get refreshed and energized. You know, we were so tired and physically and mentally, and we were walking around like a bunch of grumpy old men, and that's no fun. So hopefully this will get us kind of back on track, you know, allow the coaches to be better coaches and allow the players to be more receptive to our coaching. And we're really focusing on that aspect of it this week.
All right, Coach, take your coaching hat off for a minute. I know that's hard midseason, but what does the bye week look like for you as a husband and father, getting to see your family maybe a little more?
It's fantastic for me. I just walked into the kitchen here and remembered that I had a sink that's clogged up and a lot of laundry to do and some other stuff like that. But it's good. I needed it too. It's great to be with my family, and they're very supportive and allow me to spend a lot of time doing what I love to do. This is great. You know, I'm trying to help out a little bit around the house.
During segment 4, the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we'll check in and see what Cookeville head coach Jimmy Maynard has going on during his bye week. Thank you for joining us for segment 4 of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. With a bye week and a 2-week fall break in Putnam County, Cookeville head coach Jimmy Maynard's able to give his entire team the week off in hopes that they'll be refreshed and recharged to finish strong in the last half of the season.
We've been at it for a long time, since probably middle of June or whatever, and it's just, I think everyone's welcoming it, even our players as well as our coaches. And we've been fortunate every year we've been able to do this and take a week and just kind of get away from it just a little bit. I think that helps everybody just to get, you know, healed up a little bit. We got bumps and bruises and just the mental aspect of it, just to stay away for a little bit and you'll feel a little refreshed.
So is this something that you're giving the guys the entire week off?
Well, normally you would say no, it's not, but just because we have an open date the first week is really worked out well, because we really do. We give the guys, we've done that every year. It's worked out well for us. You're kind of reluctant or a little hesitant, I guess is the word to do that, but it's worked out every year. We give them an opportunity to go away if they want to take a little vacation, and a lot of them do that.
Coach, on the Saturday High School Playbook show, you talk about Warren County doubled you up in the first half on number of plays.
We made some mental mistakes there. We had some young running backs in that just kind of, I guess the excitement of the game and made a few mistakes there that kept us, I guess, stalled our drive there the first time we got the ball. And the second time we only got it twice, and the second time we were able to score. We felt like that we could score. We knew coming out of the half that we were going to get the football, which was a good thing. And we were able to get a good drive going and eat some clock and put some points on the board. And
Coach, Stockton Owen and Cameron Harris led you guys in rushing. You can't have a big night rushing if you don't have good O-line play. How did they play up front?
Well, I thought they played really well. We felt like coming into the game that we were really going to have to throw the football, because they really crowded the box. They put 8 in the box. But we thought that our counter play was going to be a big play for us, and it really was. That was a lot of our yardage was on counter. We ran counter quite a bit, and then we had that one third and short there for about 3rd and 1, and we were able to pop Cameron through on a little hard dive in there, and he scored about a 20-yard touchdown. But we really anticipated having to throw the ball, but we had success running it and rushing it. I think we rushed for, almost 400 yards rushing.
You talked about Carlos Alexander had a big night for you guys. He blocked a couple PATs and sealed the game with a huge interception at the end of the game after you guys had turned it over.
Well, I'm so proud for him. He's a young man that's been in our program for 4 years and played different positions, trying to get him on the field, and we finally found a spot where he could settle in. He's just a hard-working kid that really deserved that kind of night, and we'd worked on the extra point block all week, and I told him, I said, Carlos, I feel like our outside rusher's going to get a chance to block one. The turnover was big. I mean, we had the ball and had a chance to salt the game away and run the clock out, and we fumbled the football around midfield and gave them an opportunity to come back and actually win the game, and Carlos comes up with a big play and a big interception to seal the deal for us.
It's got to mean a lot to you and a testament to your program for a kid like Carlos, who has just stuck around and hung hung in there and competes and fights. And when he gets a chance to step up in the game, he makes a place.
Well, and you touched on it. It is, like you said, instant gratification. That seems to be where we are in society right now. I think we may have created that ourselves with education and some other things. But, of course, I'm an old-school guy, and I think you got to be able to fail before you can succeed. And if you don't ever have failure, you don't know how to handle failure. But, Carlos, you have a special place in your heart as a coach when you see kids that will really hang into your program, and especially when they're seniors. A lot of times when they're seniors, if they're not playing, you know, they end up quitting or they cause issues on your football team. But it's a great senior class, and he's a good young man that's really just hung in there. And, you know, the coach, you do have a special place for those guys.
On the other side of the bye week, Cookeville faces an 0-7 Siegel football team. The Stars may have an 0-7 record, but Maynard said they are much better than that. Cumberland County head coach Eric Ballou said that their practices over the bye week resembled what you would see from a team's spring practice and getting back to the basics and fundamentals in what they do.
You know, just for example, like with our running backs, great ball security, falling forward through contact, you know, getting what you can get. Quarterbacks, quick game, our basic throws, doing our meshes with our running backs, and especially up front, you know, our big emphasis was our pad level being down, knowing where to go, knowing your assignment, and a lot of the similar things as well on defense, you know, reading your keys as backers, knowing your steps as defensive back, a good pad level up front. So it's really going back to the basic fundamental focuses of football was our focus all last week.
What did you work on kind of defensively?
Defensively, you know, one thing, our DB, I coach DBs. I'm going to speak for that position. You know, we got to do a better job with our eyes. We got to know where our eyes take us, when our eyes should take us to certain things. We struggled with that against Walker Valley. They had some great athletes. You know, I don't want to take anything away from them. But we got to do a better job of seeing what's in front of us and knowing what to look at, who to look at. And I think that was a big focus as well with our linebackers, trusting our keys and not just knowing our keys, but trusting our keys with our feet. If our feet aren't moving with our keys and we're not feeling where we're supposed to, that means that we're not trusting our keys. We just know them. We can just recite it. So that's one thing that we wanted to focus on the defensive side of the ball.
Maybe to a casual fan, they wouldn't understand this or know this, but your eyes are probably what can get you in the most trouble on defense if you're just not reading the right thing, because hardly at any position on the defensive field are you ever just staring in the backfield watching the ball.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes hand in hand. It can really mess you up. It can really take you out of position, but your eyes can also create a lot of opportunities for you. Now, that guard pulls and you go with and you feel where you're supposed to feel because your eyes are in the right place. You're going to make a lot of plays, and then you're going to fall into a lot of plays as well. DBs, if we're supposed to be reading, the number two receiver and he runs a slant or whatever, and then my eyes immediately go to one, which is what we're supposed to do as opposed to we just run with number two, you're going to fall into some big plays. That's what we're trying to get our guys to do is understand that your eyes will take care of you. They'll also abuse you if you don't treat them right. If you don't read the keys the right way, if your eyes are in the wrong place, we're going to continue to struggle. But if our eyes are in the right place, we're going to start falling into some plays.
Coach, we always use a bye week to get some young kids some valuable practice time. Were you able to work in some young kids and maybe get them some reps that they hadn't got all year?
We've kind of transitioned into some young kids earning spots already. We've had a lot of young kids. We've got sophomores like Connor Cox that has been a very, very pivotal part of our program. We're excited for what he brings. He's been a starter since day one. So, we tried to get as much individual work as possible with the younger guys last week for some development. Our JV program, we're 2-1 right now. We got a game against Bledsoe County next week. So our younger guys have done an excellent job. They've really bought in. And some of those guys are working their way into playing. We had a freshman, Colton Nichols, who got a huge interception against Walker Valley. Our senior free safety, who was our quarterback, he had to come out for an injury, and then the freshman comes in and makes a play on the first drive. So we're definitely excited about what our young talent is bringing to the table.
Ballou said if you have poor eyes against a Wing T offense, you are not going to do well. He said defensively this week against Rockwood, they have to do a great job of knowing their defensive responsibilities. In the fifth and final segment of the high school playbook this week, built by Mountain Barn Builders, we preview Pickett County's trip down to Jackson County, and we see what White County head coach Mark Frazier thinks of the undefeated Livingston Wildcats. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of Week 8's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Let's listen to hear what Pickett County head coach Ray Reagan had to say about their matchup last week against Clay County in Salina.
Yeah, well, a lack of numbers and lack of size. We're just getting overpowered up front. My line, a lot of it's young. They're not very big. They're quick, but we're just getting overpowered up front, and the front line's getting pushed back into the linebackers, so the linebackers are out of position to make the tackle, and just kind of a snowball effect.
You just hit on your young offensive linemen a little bit. Have you seen them progress some as the year's gone on, you know, just with getting to play more?
Yeah, they're getting better. It's just a lot of it comes with age and maturity and, you know, spending time in the weight room, and they'll grow. It's just right now they're just young and undersized and immature, but it'll, in time they'll get there. It's just, you know, as far as knowing what to do, they seem to know exactly what to do. It's just, you know, just physically they're just getting overpowered.
And, Coach, you've played both Clay County and Monterey this year, and they have a big showdown in Week 9. But just from your opinion, what did you think about those two ball clubs and kind of how you think that game might turn out later this year?
They're both outstanding. They're both well coached, got a lot of talent, both physical. I don't know. It's going to be a good game. I'd like to have that week off myself to go watch it, but I don't think that Monterey has any weak spots at all, nowhere on the field. You know, Clay County's got some young linemen. They're like me. They're well coached and they do a good job. If I see any advantage, it's probably the line for Monterey.
What have you seen on Jackson County so far this week that you think you're going to need to prepare for on defense?
Well, they like to throw the ball and run the ball. They can do both. You know, corners are going to have to try to match up man-to-man and do their job and try to keep everybody else in the box and try to stop the run. It'll be a job, but I think we can go down there and play with them. I've got the speed to play with them. We're just going to have to put a whole game together.
Coach, looking at your last three games of your season, you have a chance to not just compete, but to maybe win these games. So what is the message to your team, and what is it going to take for you guys to come out and win these last three?
Well, just like I've stated before, you know, we don't need to worry about who we're playing or where we're playing or anything else. We need to worry about ourselves, do what we're supposed to do, do our jobs, do it well, and everything else take care of itself. And, like I said, they're just young, inexperienced, and we're coming around. It'll take time, but we've been through this before with young teams, so we'll be all right.
Pickett County starts out the last month of their season on the road this Friday night against Jackson County, then followed by a bye week, out of that bye on the road against Red Bowling Springs, and then the season finale against Joe Burns at home at 7 o'clock in Byrdstown. The biggest thing White County tried to accomplish over the bye week was getting healthy, according to head coach Mark Frazier. Frazier said he thinks his team is as healthy as they will be for the rest of the season.
Well, the bye week definitely helped a lot of the guys that just had some minor stuff are feeling a lot better. We still got some guys that are banged up, so I'm not saying we're 100%. Key players are still struggling a little bit, but we think that by Friday, you know, we'll be as good as be in as good shape as we're going to be for the rest of the year. The guys with ankles and knees and things like that are probably just going to have to tough it out the next 4 weeks to make it. But overall, we're in pretty good shape.
Coach, I was out there last week and saw you guys working in the weight room and doing some stretching and distance, you know, stretching out some running. What was the biggest thing you were able to accomplish over the bye week outside of the health and the rest?
Well, you know, the health and the rest was the key thing. We did some work on some fundamentals, especially in the secondary. We tried to do some things to go back to the basics on some things we struggled with through the first six games. Just kind of get guys, you know, lining up correctly and you know, making their footwork be a little bit more sound. So, you know, we did some fundamentals along the way. But like you said, the biggest thing was just to try to condition, stay in shape, get everybody back, everybody's legs back, feeling good, and get ready to go this week.
And the secondary is going to play a vital role in your game Friday night against Livingston. What do you think about the Livingston Academy offense?
Oh, it's, you know, we've had a, you know, since we had a bye week, we've had a couple weeks to look at them. The longer you look at them, the more nervous you get. They're solid everywhere. Quarterback can throw the football. He's the best thrower we faced all year. You know, they've got two wideouts that get a lot of the attention, but they've got, you know, several guys that can catch and run with it. Running back, they've got a younger kid they put in that's real shifty and can run. So the older kid, I think, is kind of banged up, but he may be back. So offensive line is stout. We'll have our hands full. We'll have to play as good as we played all year to just be competitive.
Coach, their offense gets, you know, all the headlines and all the publicity, but their defense is really, really stout. They play really good run defense. How are you going to, you know, try to attack them offensively?
Well, you know, you said it. As good as they are on offense, I think they're better on defense. Their defensive line is big and physical. They run to the football. I know a lot of the coaches there pretty well. Mattenhauser coached in Sparta. He's their defense coordinator now. He does a great job with those guys. Of course, Coach Lamb, we've got some connections there with some of the guys coaching for me. I've coached for him. So we know that their coaching staff is great. So when you watch their defense, they're fundamentally sound. They do everything right. Plus, they're big and physical. So it's going to be tough. We'll have to, you know, have a huge test offensively as well to see if we can, you know, move the ball, get some first downs, and get a little momentum going, hopefully.
Frazier said that it's still a lot of fun to look back on the times he played against Livingston Academy growing up. He said when he sees some of the people he used to compete against at L.A., there tends to be some friendly banter about who got the best of who. Thank you for joining us for Week 8's edition of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Be sure to log on to ucsportsnation.com for the most complete and comprehensive Friday night football action and recap. ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Ford.